Thank you, ladies, for that. I appreciate that. Well, I'm going to say, this is a live stream service, right? We're on right now. I'm going to say of the four services, this will be the best. Jackie Lyons, she texted me and said, okay, what service is going to be the best? Which one should we come to? And I'm like, okay, 9 o'clock should be good. I'm not being proud or anything. I said 10:30 should be better because I can correct mistakes from the first service. 12 o'clock, it's going to start going downhill. 1:30, it's going to blow up. So you're in the best service today, okay? You're getting the best I have. I don't even if that's even good enough. So thank you for being here. We're so glad to see you. I am so sick and tired of preaching to Brother Ross, to Brother Vaught, to Brother Chim, to the PA guys, Oscar, Jack, and Jeremy, and who else is in here that irritates me? Occasionally Ron will show up, or the Rawls will show up. I'm just tired of those people. They're the same people every time. So I didn't say I loved you, so I don't know why you would say too. By the way, you don't know what we're doing. You know, when we start the service, it comes on, hey, welcome to Pacific Baptist Church. Before that, we're messing around. It's like, oh, they're going live. Hey, how are you doing there? So you don't need to be a part of that. But when this all happened, it was on, I think it was Friday, March 13th. We had service the night before. And then everything started exploding, or, you know, we're going to close down. They shut the schools. They shut this. They shut that. And so we decided that Friday, well, because we want to be sensitive, we didn't know what the coronavirus was going to be like. So we decided we would go ahead and shut down, and we got a live stream. And by the way, thank you for those first few weeks of the live stream. We always recorded the service. We didn't have live stream. And for years, our internet stunk. It was bad, and we never upgraded, and it's like, so we got to upgrade the internet. My phone was faster than our internet. I'm looking at my phone like, you know, I get 250 gigabytes a second on my phone. It's like, can we do something different here? And so we got that going, and it got better as it went, but we stopped by our choice because we wanted to make sure that we were, you know, we didn't know what was going on, and we want to make sure that everybody's safe and all that. And now it's time for us to get back together, and we're excited about that. The numbers have trended down. By the way, you look at the numbers in Long Beach, they're very minuscule, to be honest with you, very minuscule. And so we're ready to go. And I've enjoyed it. I've enjoyed the first week of live stream was a little different, okay? It was really strange, and it's like, but we got used to it. But still, it's not the same as having church. And so this is church. Watching on live stream, I know some of you still are, and I understand that. We're still on a little stage here. I get it. But biblically speaking, that's not church. And so we're getting back to church, and I'm excited about that. Why am I excited? Because I love church. I love the whole idea of church. I love the whole concept of church. The Lord, of course, is the most important thing. And of anything that's happened spiritually in my life is because of my personal relationship with the Lord, and that's the number one thing. But I'm just telling you, right underneath that is church. Church has been fantastic. It's a place where I've been able to serve, to learn, to worship the Lord, and to be with God's people. And I'm very, very excited about church. And I'm glad. I hope church has been that for you in your Christian life. And I think sometimes, if we're not careful, we can take that for granted. I love church. You know, before I get into the message, I will say our society right now is just reeling. It is just one thing after another. And I'm not going to blame it on this, but closing churches didn't help. And closing them for as long as they have has not helped. Some of the things that are going on in our country, all these protests, and by the way, rioting and looting isn't protest. It's lawlessness, it's criminals, and it has nothing to do with protesting. Protesting is a right we have, and we should. And we protest right. But our society is out of control, all that's going on there. What has happened over the course of these several weeks with some of our government officials taking liberties. And by the way, very few people get this. There was a horrible decision made yesterday by the Supreme Court of the United States. Horrible, that will have consequences down the road. No one knows that because of the riots. They basically are pushing against the First Amendment. And so we need church more than ever. What our society doesn't understand is we're part of the answer. We're part of the solution. And I thank God that I've been in church my life. It helps me to have the right kind of focus, and we're going to see that today. And so church needs to be open. We need to reach people. We need to get back to helping people and being an encouragement and strengthening. It's so sad that our society sees church as being against the communities when churches are the best thing for communities. We're not against our community. We are all for it. We want to help people, and that's our passion. And so that's where we're at with that. Now, let's look at the text here. There are two texts that we read today. First one was in the book of Nehemiah. In Nehemiah, there are two books in the Old Testament that deal with the Jews coming back to Jerusalem after the 70-year captivity. First one was, of course, Ezra. Ezra came back first. He came back to rebuild the temple, the spiritual center. And then afterwards, and towards the end, when Ezra's still around, Nehemiah gets a burden for, like, really the practical needs of the people there. The walls are tore down. They are open to enemy attack. They are open to all kinds of troubles. And so Nehemiah gets burdened to go and build the wall. And so the wall is done, and they call, Nehemiah and Ezra call for a spiritual meeting. And they want everybody to be there, and that's what we see in chapter number 8. Now, these two texts are going to go together as we get into it. In the book of Acts, chapter 2 is the day of Pentecost. It's 50 days after Peter had denied the Lord Jesus Christ, and now he's preaching at Pentecost, and thousands get saved. And not only do they get saved, they get baptized, and they get added to the church, and they continue in their faith. So we have the story of the early church. We have the story of this spiritual meeting. It's not a church meeting, but you understand what I mean by that. They're getting together for some of the same purposes. And I want us to see this because, by the way, church is not man's idea. Church is God's idea. Church isn't just some good thought that's helpful. Church is the word we're using now. You've seen it, right? Church is essential. And I'm okay with that phrase, but church isn't essential. It's mandatory. It's biblical. It's a command of God. And so church is very important. So I see these two passages, and I think back in my own life of my love for the church, I see some key thoughts as to why I love church and why you should love church also. First thing is this. Because of the gathering. Because of the gathering. Look at Nehemiah. We're going to flip back to both scriptures. Nehemiah chapter 1 and chapter 8 and verse 1. We read that. Pastor Pichardo read it. And all the people gathered themselves together as one man. We see a unity there. But they got together. They came to the same place. There was a gathering. That's what church starts with. By the way, that's what church means, a called out assembly of believers. What we're doing on the internet, and we're still doing it because some aren't comfortable, some are at risk, and some can't come. But that's, and I've said this on live stream, it's not church. We're showing you the service, but the reality of church is when the church gathers together. Hebrews 10:25, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, and exhorting so much one another, and so much the more. I like that. So much the more as you see the day approaching. And by the way, can we not see that the end of this world is coming? We taught through Revelation about a year, maybe 2 years ago, and we look at all those things coming. It's like, how in the world could anybody in their right mind fall for those kind of things? We know how they can fall for them now. This little, they want to call it a pandemic. Maybe there's just a rebel in me. I call it a virus, whatever. We don't know what a pandemic is. And they're coming, by the way. There's pestilences and things coming later that'll make this look like child's play. But all these things coming, and this thing has thrown the world into a frenzy. It has given people license to do things that they should not do. Well, what's going to happen when the end times come? We're right there. That means we need church more than ever. We need to gather more than ever. Church is a vital part of the Christian life. Christ's sacrifice, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. We won't get on the husbands today because that's a tough verse to obey. But he's given a comparison. As Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. I mean, Jesus sacrificed himself for the church. I met a guy one time out, soul winning, and tried to say, you have to be a member of the church to be saved. And he pulled a verse like this and a verse out of Acts that says that Jesus died for the church. Listen, Jesus died for all mankind. He's just making the point here that Jesus sacrificed his life so we can be saved and we can be part of a church family. Why? So we can gather together. And I hope you are like me, and I'm the pastor. I've taken church for granted. I think I've taken church for granted. Being with God's people, gathering together. And I think that from the text, many of you have texted me in here, and I've tried to keep in contact. You say, I didn't get a text from you, Pastor, when during this whole thing. Maybe your cell phone number wasn't right or something. I've tried, but you've texted me back, and like, I can't wait to get back in church. And I'll be honest with you, when we were first saying we're going to come back to church, and I follow a lot of churches on my social media, and some of them in some of the open states have been opening earlier, and I'm checking their percentages, and they're like, yeah, we're having like 33%, 40% of our church that's actually coming back when they can. On our church, you're crazy. You're all coming back. Okay, I told them we're gonna have two services and maybe we'll have a partial third service. And it's like, now we're having four services, okay? And you say, are you excited about that? No, but it's what we gotta do. I'm thankful for a church that wants to gather. So important for us to be together. But there's another reason I love church. Because of the Bible. You see in Nehemiah chapter 8, they got together. You know what they did? They read the Bible, verse 3. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate. As I said in the first service, that's not Richard Nixon, okay? From the morning until the midday. Can you imagine? They read for hours. Hours. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. Verse 5. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of the people. They were teaching, they were putting an emphasis here on the Bible. They didn't just get together so that they can have a motivational meeting. And there's nothing wrong with that. They didn't just get together to say, here's what we got to do as believers. Here's what we got to do now that we got the wall up. Here is what we had to do. No, they stuck to the scripture. They made the scripture preeminent. We're going to read the scripture. By the way, that's why we added that several years ago to our services. We're going to read the scripture publicly. Why? Because if we don't have scripture, we don't have anything. Scripture is all of it. Scripture tells us what we're supposed to do. Scripture tells us how we're supposed to live. Scripture tells us how we're supposed to honor God. And church is a place that lifts up scripture. It lifts up the importance of the Word of God. By the way, what's wrong, and I'm not being political, I'll just throw these things out, but no wonder the government doesn't think much of our churches because much of our churches have thrown the Bible out. You can come to church, you don't even need a Bible because they're going to read some little verse and it has nothing to do with the message. Nothing. It's just a little thing and they tell you all their little stories. No. The preeminence in the Bible is on the scripture. You can't read anywhere without scripture's preeminence being pushed forward. And church taught me the importance of the Bible. Nothing more. And we're not going to ever have drama here. We're going to have the scripture. The Bible is central. They read it publicly. By the way, they had a reverence for it. They stood. That's why we have you stand. It's not some Catholic thing where, you know, you get down and get up and you have no idea why you're doing it. No, it's because reverence for what God's word is saying. When someone is speaking of importance, you listen. And that's what the Bible is. The church taught me to lift up the Bible. Another reason I love church is because of the people. Most of the people. Acts chapter 2, verse 42, they got baptized, they added the church, and they continued in several things. And one of the things they continued in, and fellowship. Fellowship. You know, where I went to school, I was taught, there was a philosophy, it was kind of pushed that, you know, as the pastor or as the spiritual leaders, you don't spend a lot of time with people except at church. You know, you don't invite them over your house, you don't go out to eat with them and all that. And I was kind of like that. And then we did something different. We started a Cambodian church. And Cambodian people weren't like that. Once they found out where I lived, they didn't ask to come over. They just came. We had Sunday school in my house, and we would have Sunday school at 9:30. I think it was 10. We had Sunday school, and I'd be in my room, and I'd come out at 9 o'clock, 10 after 9, and there's a crowd of people in my living room already, eating my breakfast, reading the newspaper, back when you did newspapers. They were just like, what are you guys doing here? It's like, we just wanted to come hang out. And I guess I can live with that, but then that started on Monday night and Tuesday night. And then every Friday night, some of you were there for that. Every Friday night, just party at, I wasn't the pastor then, at my house until 2 or 3 in the morning. And you know what? My whole philosophy changed. I liked being with people. Most of you. And I like that. You know, one of the things I'm going to miss this summer because of our schedule and what's going on, our Monday night dinners with all the different church families every Monday night and our Friday night fellowships at our house, we can't do that. I like being with God's people. Let's not, now I'm telling you, when we're done here, go home. We have other people coming, all right? But typically, I like sticking around, talking to the church family, coming early, fellowshipping. It's important. I love church because I love church people. By the way, let me say this. One of the things that's struggling in our society right now is people aren't being around people. We are a social people. And we can't, depression is up. Suicides are remarkably up. Why? We got to be around people. You could go the other thing. Maybe it's because they're hanging around their family only. I don't know. But we need people. We need to be around each other. And so I love church because I love people. Next, I love church because of the teaching. Verse 42 again of Acts chapter 2. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, the teachings of the scripture that they were getting. And then in Nehemiah 8:8, it says this. So they read in the book of the law, look at these words, distinctly, and gave the sense, and caused them to understand the reading. So they read the book of the law, and they were very distinct about it, so that you understood what was being said. And then they explained what was being said, and they applied what was being said. Isn't that what the Bible's for? We need teaching. We're supposed to read our Bibles, and as we read our Bibles, we understand the truths. But as we come to church and hear it taught in our Sunday school, we hear it preached, what we're reading and what we're hearing starts to mesh together. Listen, I walked into church, and I knew nothing about the Bible. I'd probably been to church, after I got right with God, I'd probably only been to church a handful of times. Both hands, and I had extra fingers. And I knew nothing, and I started reading my Bible. But I'm going to tell you something. I learned so much at the church services. I learned so much. And as I read and as I studied and as I heard, it all started to fit together. And the preaching should be that way, the teaching. It's, say, sometimes you're a little pointed at what, if the Bible says it, we have to go with it. Okay? We don't want to go beyond the Bible, but we want to make sure we go with the Bible. The preaching, the teaching. We are working, what we have done, a lot of our staff over these last, we've been working, by the way, we're preparing for when we get back to church and helping people grow in their faith and pushing them to the Bible. We've got all kinds of ideas. We've written a couple different disciples. We've written a whole brand new discipleship book and a new converts book, and I'm writing a discipleship 2 book, and we're doing all these things. We started the blog. We're just doing everything we can to push people to learn Scripture and learn God's truth. Next, another thing I love about the church is the prayer. Verse 42 of Acts chapter 2, they continued and in prayer. Isn't it a blessing during these confusing times we live in that we can pray for one another? How many times over these last 11 weeks have I texted multiple times to our church family and sent emails, and we've done everything. We've sent postcards. We sent a newsletter. We sent a letter. We've done everything but like ask Amazon Prime to stop by your house, okay? We've done all of it to try to stay in contact. But it's been good as people have called back. Can you pray for, they've called or they've texted me, hey, can you pray for me? This is going on. I lost my job. Can you pray for me? Can you pray? Isn't it nice we have a place where people who actually know us and actually care about one another can bring their needs for prayer and know that someone will pray for them? I mean, you can ask somebody that doesn't know you to pray, and they may pray for you, but isn't it nice someone that knows you and cares about you and loves you that will pray for you? Don't you think they'll pray a little more intently? not this, you know, this 1-800 prayer cloth and send your faith seed and I'll pray for you. They're not praying for you. They're taking your money. But it's nice to have a place, a church family that will pray for you. And we're still here to do that just because things may loosen up. Next, I love church because of the team. Acts chapter 2 and verse 41. It's saying, they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them. Added. In other words, they became part of the group that was already saved there in Jerusalem. They became part of that assembly, that church. They became part of, as it were, in our terms, we would say, they became part of that team. That was their team. By the way, I love Christianity, I love churches, but I really love this church, okay? I love Pacific Baptist Church. I love Pacific Baptist School. I love Pacific Baptist Bible College. I love Pacific Baptist Bible Institute. And if you throw Pacific on anything else, I'll take that too, okay? Not the Pacifica car, not going to drive that thing. But I love this particular church. This is my church. And if you're a member, this is your church, and we should love it. I got all of it. I even got a tattoo. It says Pacific Baptist. Just kidding, I didn't get a tattoo. But I love the church. I want to be part of this team. I don't want to be a part of any other team, okay? This is my team. And I hope that it's your team too, and I'm glad I can be. So when I'm a part of this team, I'm a part of you, and you're a part of us, and we're pulling together. And I miss that, and I'm glad we're here today, but I love that. And then lastly, because of family, look at verse 39. It says, for the promise, this is Peter when he was preaching, and they accepted it, and he's talking about salvation. For the promise is unto you and to your children. And to all that are far off. That message of salvation, it wasn't just for the adults that are here. And it says, hey, that's not just for you. That's for your children, too. That's for your family, too. The greatest thing about church is your family. It's a place for family. If there is so much nonsense going on in this world, if there is, you know, we call it misinformation. They call it fake news. I call it propaganda, to be real honest with you. If there's so much nonsense going on out there, where is a place where together we can be pushed to the scripture and we can take the faith, not just for ourselves, but for our family to go forward? It's the church. It's the church. It's the best place to bring your family. Church is to be a family thing. Fathers, church is for you. Being spiritual is for fathers. It's not a mom thing. And mothers, it's a place for you, and spirituality is for you. And children, it's for you too. Well, I like the youth group as long as we do goofy things. And I am against goofy things. I tell Brother Ross sometimes, like, he has a youth pastor's mind. I'm like, that's fine, but it's a little too goofy for me. I don't mind fun, have activities, all that stuff. But it's a spiritual thing. And just because you're a youngster doesn't mean you don't have to be spiritual. And if you're not spiritual, it's not the church's fault, school, or your parents' fault, is you're choosing not to be spiritual. But anyhow, back to the message. I was trying to be nice today. But it's great for the family. The best place you can bring your family is church. It'll strengthen. Look, if you're in church, it'll make you a better husband. If you're in church, it'll make you, and you accept all of that, it'll make you a better wife. It'll make you a better child. It'll make you a better family going forward. What am I saying today? I'm saying this. I love church. And we've missed church over these last, really, 2.5 months. But I hope that your love and zeal for church has not changed. I hope that you still are in on what God wants to do. By the way, we have a purpose. We still have things we need to do for the Lord. We still have people that need to be reached. And I hope that you're like, I hope you were like me, like, when are we getting back together? When is this thing going to clear up? When are we going to be back together? And I want to thank you for being here today. Let's pray together. So we bow our head and close our eyes for a minute. We're not going to have an invitation where you come down. But I hope that you're still with your church. And I know you are. I know I'm preaching to the choir. You're here. You know, we joke around that during this time that I'm glad nobody came to church in their slippers and their bathrobes, because that's, you're at home, you can do that. Thank you for being here. But I hope you still have a love for church. Everything about it. You know, the thing that we need to really understand is church isn't some spiritual ritual. It's not like a lucky rabbit's foot, and I do the little Hail Mary cross, and I have no idea what that means, and God's going to honor it. No. I hope you understand there's a lot more to church. There's a lot more for us. But I hope that as things clear up and we get going to a greater extent, we get in that new building. That new building is not just for more room. That building is a tool to be everything that God wants us to be. And I want to thank you for being here today. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful that we are here this morning. And Father, I pray that you'd bless these dear folks. We've missed them. I hope they've missed us. Father, I pray you'd work in their lives. I pray you'd continually be molding and making us the church that you want us to be, the people of God in this church that you want us to be, so that we can fulfill your will in our lives. Bless us now as we go our way. God, keep us safe until we meet again. And Lord, we pray for our country today. With all that is going on and has been going on over these past few days, and this virus and everything, Lord, and people that are hurting, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to come back to you. May this be a time where the church can get the gospel out to a greater extent and people can be reached for the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.